Welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of the Counseling Convos podcast. I'm your host, Jarius Shaheen. If you've tuned in to the past two seasons, you might have caught on to the fact that each season has a distinct theme. Each episode of each season interconnect in some way. In this season, it's all about nurturing growth. Today, we have a special episode for all of the aspiring counselors out there. Whether you're on a path to becoming a licensed therapist or you're a seasoned professional, this episode is packed with insights on clinical supervision for provisionally licensed counselors. So buckle up for a journey into the world of nurturing growth and supporting the next generation of mental health professionals. Act 1, Setting the Stage. Before we dive into the struggles provisionally licensed counselors face, let's set the stage. Clinical supervision is like the compass guiding counselors through the early stages of their careers. It's a pivotal time where theory meets practice. And growth is not just encouraged, but essential. Now, let's explore the top 10 struggles provisionally licensed counselors commonly encounter. Let's jump into Act 2, Unveiling the Struggles. In this act, we're met face-to-face with the challenges provisionally licensed counselors grapple with. So let's get started and review these common struggles. Number 1, Balancing Act. Juggling work, supervision, and personal life can be overwhelming. Finding the right balance is the first hurdle. Balancing the demands of your counseling career, various supervision requirements, and your own personal life is a daunting challenge. The insight here lies in recognizing that amidst the chaos, prioritizing self-care becomes the crucial anchor that keeps one steady. Establishing boundaries, scheduling time for rest, and nurturing one's mental and emotional well-being are not just luxuries, but necessities in navigating the demanding terrain of early career counseling. So the insight here, in the chaos, prioritizing self-care becomes the anchor that keeps you steady. Number 2, the imposter syndrome. Doubts about one's abilities are not uncommon. The imposter syndrome can cast a shadow on even the brightest counselors. The imposter syndrome is an all too common companion for both provisionally licensed and fully licensed counselors. Doubts about one's abilities, about your fears of being exposed as an inadequate professional, these can cast a shadow on even the most competent professionals. The insight here is a reminder that these feelings are shared experiences, and embracing the journey of learning is key. Acknowledging the imposter syndrome not as a sign of weakness, but as a stepping stone to growth. This allows PLPCs to develop resilience and self-compassion. And it's a great time to do it as you are sharpening your experience and your practice. So remember this insight: you're not alone in feeling like you're not enough. Embrace the journey of learning. Number 3, navigating client diversity. Provisionally licensed counselors often face diverse clientele. Adapting to different needs and backgrounds requires a unique skill set. You're going to often find yourself facing individuals with diverse backgrounds, each with unique needs. The insight here lies in understanding that cultural competence is never a destination, but a continuous journey. Each interaction is an opportunity to learn and to grow, fostering a deeper understanding of the diverse perspectives that enrich the therapeutic process. Embracing cultural humility and seeking ongoing education in this realm is essential for effective and inclusive counseling. So the insight, cultural competence is a journey, not a destination. Embrace each interaction as a chance to learn and grow. Number 4, legal tightrope. Understanding and navigating ethical and legal boundaries can be perplexing. PLPCs need to walk the legal tightrope with finesse. Navigating this intricate web of ethical and legal boundaries is a significant struggle. It can be a significant struggle. The insight here is that ethical challenges are not roadblocks, but rather opportunities for growth. Seeking supervision and consultation when faced with legal uncertainties ensures that provisionally licensed counselors can refine their ethical compass, honing the skills necessary for maintaining professional integrity and providing ethical, responsible care. It's a journey of continuous learning and ethical refinement. So the insight is that ethical challenges are opportunities for growth. Seek supervision and consult when in doubt. Consultation is never truly over. You will find yourself in similar predicaments in the future when you're fully licensed as well. Consultation exists everywhere. Seek it out. Number 5, navigating supervision dynamics. Establishing a healthy and effective supervisory relationship is paramount for PLPCs. The insight here is that communication and collaboration are key components of successful supervision. Embracing open dialogue, seeking constructive feedback, and actively participating in the supervisory process contribute to a positive learning environment. This fosters both personal and professional development. A supervision session sometimes can be intimidating. You want to find yourself in a non-defensive mode, being open to constructive feedback, knowing that the person you're speaking with is providing you insights that you might otherwise be missing. From the opposite side of the table, the supervisor is also learning from you. They're learning just as much about the counseling journey and the counseling industry as you are about various theories and practices. Number 6, burnout prevention. The risk of burnout looms large for PLPCs, given the emotionally demanding nature of their work. The insight is that self-awareness is a powerful tool in preventing burnout. Recognizing signs of emotional exhaustion and implementing proactive self-care strategies, including regular supervision, helps PLPCs build resilience and maintain their passion for the counseling profession. In certain states where there is a minimum window of time to attain your supervision hours, the window might be 2 years in which you'll experience many ups and downs. You will desire to jump ship, to go perhaps and work in different settings and different organizations. You are free to do so. However, it is helpful to know that this is a very realistic experience. There is a norm to butting up to the edge of burnout and being self-aware of it. If we're not self-aware of when we get close to burnout, then we will lose that passion, we will lose that spark, and you will lose your desire to continue forward in this profession. Number 7, building confidence in clinical skills. PLPCs often grapple with building confidence in their clinical skills, and the reason this happens is that they have been equipped for such a long time with book knowledge and certain presentation material, as well as case studies. And now that they must implement these skills, there's a lack of experience. There's a lack of normalcy, and it feels very obscure. In practicing these skills and connecting with the supervisor, perhaps weekly or every other week, a provisionally licensed professional is able to increase their competence as well as their confidence. There is a difference. A professional can have a sense of confidence, but without the competence. They can also have a sense of competence, but lack confidence. We want to slowly build these two in unison, increasing over time. Having one over the other doesn't really help. It creates an offset experience. So it's helpful to balance these out. The insight here is that competence grows with experience. And every client interaction offers an opportunity for skill development. Celebrating small victories, seeking mentorship, and engaging in ongoing professional development contribute to the gradual but steady growth of confidence in clinical practice. Number 8, managing boundaries with clients. Establishing and maintaining appropriate boundaries with clients is a consistent challenge. Boundaries at times can become vague. A client might say a certain thing, or a particular bias within your own self may arise, and you're uncertain how to respond or what steps to take. That uncertainty ought to be the first indicator, the first flag, the first prompt to look inward, to pause, and perhaps to connect with your supervisor. These experiences will happen, and having some type of preventative game plan and managing boundaries will be important. The insight is that navigating these boundaries requires a blend of empathy and professionalism. PLPCs must cultivate a keen awareness of ethical guidelines, continuously assess their comfort levels, and seek guidance in situations where maintaining boundaries may become complex. Ethical guidelines can be found in your state regulations, your state statutes, as well as taking any type of ethics course within your industry helps with understanding a baseline of these ethics and guidelines. When they become complex and outside of your scope is when you want to utilize those opportunities of processing with your supervisor. Number 9, coping with uncertainty. The counseling field is inherently unpredictable, and PLPCs often struggle with coping with uncertainty. I recall when I was going through my first years of being provisionally licensed, a wise individual explained to me that it's similar to swimming in the gray, and being able to be okay with vagueness and with non-black and white thinking. It's never this and that, it's something in the middle. They also indicated that the problem, the presenting problem, is never truly the problem. There's always something deeper. There's always layers. With that comes complexity and uncertainty, and we must create a normalization to uncertainty. The insight here is that embracing uncertainty is an integral part of the therapeutic process. Developing flexibility, resilience, and a willingness to learn from unexpected situations empowers you to navigate the unpredictable nature of the counseling profession. Lastly, number 10, transitioning to autonomy. As a PLPC moves towards becoming fully licensed, the transition to autonomy can be both exciting and anxiety-inducing. The insight here is that this phase is a culmination of your hard work and dedication. embracing the growth achieved during supervision, trusting one's skills, seeking ongoing support as needed, allows you to confidently step into the role of independent practitioners. Now, for those of you that might be going off to work in organizations or agencies or group practice, you will have these sorts of bumpers, policies, procedures, a team that will hold you accountable. It's a little different in a solo practice. You have to make sure to construct these things and to seek them out in order to be comfortable with your own sense of independent autonomy as a professional, as a therapist. These are things you have to include in your experience. You'll always be able to consult and connect with a supervisor if you seek them out. Now, costs may vary, but you will be able to find options on via telehealth or in person. I recommend you seek that out as needed to make sure that you are not only comfortable in your autonomy, but you are confident and competent as well. In this next segment, called What's Your Take? I look for your advice and your suggestions or comments on social media. In today's episode, I ask the question, what was or is the most difficult aspect of being provisionally licensed? And how did you navigate it? Here were some of your responses. Darlene Weldon said, it was very difficult to get a job as a PLPC as you were competing with fully licensed counselors. I also found it very hard to volunteer anywhere, as many places such as churches said they had their own counseling team. It can be a challenge to get your hours for supervision. Anna Kirkley said, I don't understand why insurance companies won't panel a provisionally licensed person. It seriously limits the experiences they can get, and since there is apparently a shortage of therapists who accept insurance, as more and more of the highly experienced therapists opt to go private pay only. It would make sense for provisionally licensed therapists to fill that gap. But that's not a thing. So they go to community mental health, take whatever clients they are given, usually Medicaid and C-Star clients, and work with whatever supervisor is assigned, regardless of whether or not they practice from the preferred modality. Kelsey McLaurin said the most difficult part about being a provisionally licensed professional was navigating how to start in private practice. In Missouri, I would not be allowed to directly receive payment from clients as it would have to go through my supervisor and then to me. I started out on the Missouri side and figured I would have to wait until I'm fully licensed to pursue more bigger business ventures related to therapy. But then I learned about Kansas. In Kansas, I can get paid directly by my clients via private practice and pursue the business ventures I want to. So I moved everything over there since I'm in Kansas City. Now I can practice, get paid, have supervision, and not push off my goals like I would have to do in Missouri. My practice, Moments Counseling, is literally on state line on the Kansas side. Needless to say, being a provisionally licensed professional comes with a great deal of due diligence. Thank you all so much for providing those comments. They're very insightful and hopefully they will help someone out there navigate these same difficulties. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Counseling Convos podcast. I'm Jiris Shaheen. Until next, if you are looking for more resources in mental health, please visit our website, pioneercounseling.org.
Jiris Shaheen is a licensed professional counselor and nationally certified counselor operating in and around St. Louis, Missouri. Jiris holds his MA in professional counseling from Lindenwood University, BA in intercultural studies from Lincoln Christian University, and holds a certificate in life coaching. Jiris provides life coaching services to clients online globally. Jiris is EMDR trained and DBT certified, practicing from a TIC lens, which stands for trauma-informed care lens.
Why, thank you, ChatGPT. If you are curious as to how our industry can use AI Stay tuned for our next episode, and we'll dive more into that.